The second epistle to Timothy, chapter 2, at verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So far the reading. From a prison cell in the city of Rome, St. Paul wrote his second letter to his young protege, Timothy. Paul had met Timothy on his second missionary journey and recognized in this young man a future pastor for the churches which he had established. The wider context from which our short reading is taken is filled with imperative verbs, command forms, and statements that begin with, "You must," imposing obligation on the receiver of the statement. St. Paul used metaphors borrowed from the world of armies and warfare and from athletic competition and from agricultural work to make his point. These metaphors communicate a sense of hard labor and an element of danger connected with the work that Timothy was to do. Some examples of what we speak of are the following. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. St. Paul began this chapter with those words. You must endure hardship as a good soldier. Remind others of the things I taught you. Shun profane and idle talk. Flee youthful lusts. Pursue righteousness and faith. Avoid foolish disputes. Don't quarrel. Be gentle. It's quite a list of imperatives and obligations that Paul laid on his young colleague Timothy. Living up to them would have been a real challenge. Right in the middle of all these other directives is our reading, which clarifies some broad principles that would give shape to Timothy's work. First of all, there is this directive: be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. Be a hard worker, he's saying, not the kind who is negligent, a shirker, a malingerer, an excuse maker, a whiner, a complainer. You have work before you, Timothy. Now do it, he's saying. One aspect of what it means to be such a worker is that he should know how to divide the word of truth rightly. And this is the point that we want to focus on today. Other Bible translations express this idea as a knowing how to handle the word of truth. Well, note first of all that Timothy and those who would follow him in the ministry of the New Testament worked with the concept of truth. They were to proclaim and teach truth with the authority of Christ himself behind what they did. And their work was not about giving helpful suggestions to aid people in using their innate intelligence in making life's important decisions. No, it was about the proclamation of truth. There really is such a thing as truth, and it really can be known. And by the authority of Christ, it is to be confessed and proclaimed in the midst of the human race. And this truth is connected with the Word, the sacred scriptures, given by God through the prophets of the Old Testament era and the apostles of the New Testament. This collection of prophetic and apostolic writings is the source of the truth which the Christian ministry proclaims. But that is a large collection of writings, written over a span of 1,500 years from the time of Moses to the time of the apostles. How can we know what meaning is to be found in that large body of material? What is the key to the understanding of it? Well, it's no secret that many answers to questions like these have been given over the centuries. It has been asserted that the correct understanding of the Bible can only come from some authoritative office or position in the church, and the holder of that position is the only one who can tell the rest of us what we should believe. On the other hand, on the other end of the spectrum is the idea that there is no enduring truth for all generations of mankind to be found in Scripture. Each age has to read these texts in the light of the prevailing ideas of the times and find some kind of truth that people will find relevant in the light of commonly held ideas. Consider a couple of examples of this. In the mid-19th century, a woman in Boston by the name of Mary Baker Eddy published a book entitled Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. Note that title, with Key to the Scriptures. Certain scientific ideas of the time were the key to the understanding of the Bible, in her view. Jesus was really a scientist, you see, and his teaching bore a remarkable similarity to certain pet ideas of Mrs. Eddy, the founder of the Christian Science Church. Well, the Christian Science Reading Room in Mankato closed some time ago for lack of interest, and it was converted into a center for the arts, and I would like to suggest that both the arts and religion benefited therefrom. In 1925, a business executive by the name of Bruce Barton presented another key to the understanding of the Bible in a book entitled The Man Nobody Knows. He was talking about Jesus, of course. In Barton's view, Jesus was to be understood as the founder of modern business. This was the key to making sense out of who Jesus was and what he did and the writings about him. Barton's businessman savior of the bull market of the roaring 20s became immensely popular for a time. His book became one of the best-selling nonfiction books of the 20th century. But after 1929, I think some found that businessman savior model didn't work so well after all. New interpreters of the Bible and religion in general arise in each generation with predictable regularity, and many stumble after them in search of meaning. The prophet Isaiah wrote powerfully concerning the human predicament apart from divine enlightenment in this way. We look for light, but there is darkness, for brightness, but we walk in blackness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as at twilight. We are as dead men in desolate places. And here is the first step in understanding the Scriptures. It's called the Law of God, and it exposes and lays bare the full dimensions of our problem, summarized by St. Paul in the words, "The wages of sin is death." When the religious bestsellers of the past, the present, and the future are all collecting dust, with the worthlessness of their fads and trends exposed, this truth will still be in play. The wages of sin is death, and no bestseller generated from the imagination of man will have anything to say in the face of that truth which will make any difference whatsoever. But the Scriptures do have something to say that makes a difference. It's called the gospel, and it is summarized in these words. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here we have the key to the meaning of all of sacred Scripture. The Son of God in human flesh has provided redemption for us by his life and death and resurrection. This gospel is the power of God for our salvation because it brings to us all the benefits of the saving work of the Son of God and enables us to embrace those benefits and make them our own. In these truths of law and gospel, we have the clear and brilliant light which enables us to understand and to use the sacred Scriptures which God has placed into our hands. Blessed are the eyes that see that light. Amen.